There's an event I want to talk about. This happened last week at City Hall where I work. We had a group of junior leadership class. It's actually a summer camp. And these are middle-aged school kids. And the thing that impressed me so much about them is their attentiveness. The questions that they ask, they want to know, how does this local government work? How does the economic, the businesses work in this city? I want to know. And as William knows, you know, there are times we have high school kids come through. Do they really care? No. Do they ask questions? No. Can they keep their eyelids open? No. And William can attest to that, but we go through that. But as I was thinking about these leadership students, a very interesting thought came to my mind. Who are these kids? You know, I look at them, see this interest, and I go, does God have something to do with this? He has basically called these ones out from the rest. I was impressed with that. And I thought, God, are you going to be calling this younger generation to be the leaders when they become the adults? I believe he will, because they're separated out. They're different. William can tell you, since he's been in the educational system for quite some time. So it was interesting, and it led to the title of my sermon, which is called Out of Darkness. That's what today, Pentecost, is about. God was going to put his church together, and he was going to call people out of darkness. Here we are. We don't live in the dark, because we chose to hear God. We chose to follow his Son. We chose to receive his Spirit, which brought light into our life. So how did this begin? I don't have this one slide, Dave. In John 16, verse 7, there was something very interesting that Christ said. It was about, it is better that I go away for your benefit, because if I don't, the Holy Spirit will not come. That is why I must go. And that moves us to John 14, verses 16 and 17, and this comes from the contemporary English version. It says, then I will ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit, who will help you and always, always be with you. The Spirit will show you what is true. He won't mislead you, will he? Because what you do know is true. It has been proven to you. Not by the words of men, but by the Holy Spirit. Is that not true? Is this not what Pentecost is about? That the light of the truth would become yours, and it would lead you into it. It says, the people of this world cannot accept the Spirit, because they don't see or know him. But you know the Spirit, who is with you and will keep on living in you. Is that not the promise? But is there a condition to that promise? There is, and you know what it is, because it's been revealed to you. That's to keep the commandments of God. That is to love one another as he commanded. And as long as you do that, it will always be with you. That is something we desire. That is something we live for. And it has its beginning there in Pentecost. And there's more to Pentecost than you realize. Because when I get to the end, what is Pentecost? Darkness to light. Light to eternal life. Eternal life to always being with God. God living with us. Have you ever considered that? instead of just kind of accepting, okay, I know what Pentecost is all about, the wind came and they received the Holy Spirit. It's far more than that. It's the beginning of the church and the very things I just stated, darkness to light, to eternal life, forever with God. Have you ever thought about that? That deeper meaning? Because there's something that I've been thinking about lately concerning the spring holy days and the fall holy days. Because we understand and know that the spring holy days is about redemption, Christ's sacrifice, our beginning to understand sin and getting rid of it, and then the giving of the Holy Spirit. But have you ever thought there's a gap between the spring holy days and the fall holy days? Could that gap actually be the development of the church? That there's this number that has to be before Christ returns. Because when you go to the fall holy days, what is that about? It is about the return of Christ. There's a church that has to be ready. This gap. Now that is my thought, and I'm not saying it's gospel because it isn't. But it's these thoughts that come, and these thoughts could very well come from the Holy Spirit. We're in that period of growth. We're in that period of being prepared for when Jesus Christ returns. The beginning of this is Pentecost. How can we grow and develop in the way that we're supposed to? We have to have God's Holy Spirit. It has to guide us. We have to live it. And that's why we are here today, is it not? So let's just briefly go to Acts 2, verses 1 through 2, where it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. Hurricanes. Now, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen. I don't want it to happen. But I want these hurricanes to stay out to sea. But those of us that have gone through it, through the eye and so forth, I've been through four or five of them. But it's that roaring wind when you get to that core, that roaring wind. I sometimes wondered, did that happen that day? It obviously gathered a lot of attention. A roaring wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. You don't want a hurricane inside your house. You don't want the windows broken or the doors breached because it'll tear your house apart. So I sometimes wonder about that. And then it said, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. But there was another thing that happened, wasn't there? Peter, he gave his first sermon. And what happened? About 3,000 were baptized. The beginning of the church. And it all started with Pentecost, every bit of it. And I think at times, was there ever a Pentecost in your life? Have you ever really given consideration to how you were called? You heard something. You read something. Could that not be compared to a Pentecost in your life? I would say yes. With the experience I had, yes. That was the Pentecost in my life. It led to baptism. It led to receiving the Holy Spirit. It led to knowledge and learning of a true way to live. Oh yes. Beautiful day today. And what this all means. Because it means so much. And then going on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I got to quit looking at this watch, but you know. Verses 5 and 8 says, for you are all children of light and of the day, and we don't belong to darkness and night. We don't. You know, it's a good question. Can you tell the difference between darkness and light? I hope you can, because it's all spelled out and defined by the way that you live. We live differently from the world. Because it's like it continues in verse 8. Let us who live in light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing our helmet, the confidence of our salvation. Doesn't that present a question to you? It did me. How much confidence do you have in your salvation? Have you ever thought about that? It comes down to a question of belief. Do you believe in your salvation and how to get there and how it comes? Have you ever thought about it? Am I doing wrong? Is there darkness where it should not be? Those are questions to be asked. And in Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, because this is key. This is what helps us to determine and discern where are we in our spiritual life? Where is our belief in the salvation that's coming? It says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. Let's take a moment. This is not talking about our natural eye, is it? No, it's talking about a spiritual eye. How many times have we heard Christ say to those that overcome, they have eyes to see and ears to hear? This is what it's talking about. Your eye can see the light. It can see the truth. But the question remains, do you allow it to enter your body, your spiritual body, for its health, for its growth, and the things that it needs? Because it goes on. It says, but when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. Makes sense. If your eye cannot see the light and the truth of God and His Word, what is it seeing? It's seeing the world around you. It's filling you with worldly things. The eye is dark. But there is this. It says, if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. And I think about that. And I've seen it where people are fooling themselves. They say, I am Christian. I am righteous. But they're far away from it. Because their worship is only lip service. They can't see the light, but they think they can. But the scary part of it is how deep that darkness is. Is there a way to see the light? There is. We know what it is. It's obedience to God and His commandments. It's to turn around to what you think you are, and to see yourself as God sees you, and what He offers you. Redemption, the Holy Spirit, which began on this day. And going to Luke 11, verse 36, I love this one. It says, if you are filled with light, with no dark corners. Whoa, wait a minute. What are we talking about here? what day about a carpenter, what I talked about last week, about the house that, your spiritual house that is built. Light is to fill it, like it says. Then your whole life will be radiant through a floodlight. We're filling you with light. Now, the question is, and I thought about this because, are there dark corners in your spiritual house? Because I've got to plug something here. Gary Beam gave a very, very interesting sermon. It was on May 11th, 2024, called Spiritual Squatters That Seek to Occupy. That was a fantastic sermon. That's what makes me think about this. Are there squatters in your spiritual house? Where are they? Only the light can find them. So you can get rid of them. Evict them. But that's something that we do. But it was eye-opening because we do this at Passover. You know, like, okay, what am I entertaining that I shouldn't? That's a dark corner in your house. Seek it out. The only light that's going to fill it comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit and God that you can evict this dark corner and fill it with light. It hits the core. And you know, if you get the opportunity to listen to that sermon, you will understand exactly what's being said here. Don't ignore it, because it's too easy to say, I don't want to listen to that. You know, I'm okay. I know my house. Do you? How often do you search your house? Because one of the things I had to think about is when my daughters left home and my wife and I are in this big house. There's some rooms we no longer use. They are dark. So are there rooms in your house that you no longer pay attention to? Are they dark? It was a good lesson. And of course, day when Dave brought up Father's Day, it's a very important day to my daughters. We have a very close-knit family. But I told them, I said, girls, gotta wait. This is a special day that your mother and I will be attending. And yes, I think this is the first time that Pentecost has been on Father's Day. In the 50 years I've been in the church, I don't think it has ever happened. And it's kind of a test. I always look forward to Father's Day. We go out and eat, we have fun, we talk and all that kind of stuff. Can't do it today. They understand, because you have to be here. It's commanded by God. And the lessons that you learn from it about why Pentecost is what it is. It's the beginning of the church. It's the beginning of our spiritual life. It's such a wonderful thing. And it's sad that there's people out there that don't understand that when they think they do. Some disapprove of what we do. God doesn't. He's the only one that matters. Let's go to John 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for their sins will be exposed. Hold it. Has there been times in your life when you have kind of weakened and you kind of go away from the light because you don't want what you're doing to be exposed? We're all guilty of that. I mean, I think of Adam and Eve in the garden when they partook of that apple or whatever it was. What did they do? They ran. They hid. Have we done that? I know there's been times of weakness in my life where I hid from the light. Because I knew I was doing wrong. I knew God would not approve. Until I came to my senses and entered back into the light. Because in verse 21 it says, but those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Now that's not necessarily referring to your neighbors who live in the world. It's your brothers and sister in the Lord. When they see you come back, when they see you repent of whatever it was, they see it. And in that, they rejoice. Those who do what is right come to the light so others can see they are doing what God wants. Is that not our life? Basically, you can hide things that from your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But what happens? Sooner or later, it's exposed. Your brothers and sisters become concerned. They go to you to try to turn you around. Hopefully, you do. And repent. And when you do that, it's a joyous thing to your brothers and sisters. You came back. You did the right thing. And going to John 8, verse 12. It says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. Because you will have the light that leads to life. Life. You know that difference. You know what Christ and the Holy Spirit has done in your life. You don't live in darkness when you commit yourself to God. You live in the light. You become children of the light. You become children of God. And there is a promise there. And let's go to the promise when God himself will live amongst us and we will live with him. That is not in darkness, my friends. Because it says God dwells in unapproachable light. And if that is so, that's where you will be. If you continue, it's up to you. And in verse 46, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. You know that to be true. He is your life. And whatever your life was before, who knows what it could have been. You left it. The light exposed what it was. And you said, this can't be for me anymore. I know better. I want to dwell in the light of God. I want to partake of his promises. Because I know they're true. Now, I don't do the Biden freeze. But I just get overwhelmed of who God is, what he is doing with us, standing in his life. It's overwhelming at times, to the point that I have become speechless. So, not my age. I just get overwhelmed. But I want to move on to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And this is about Christ. It says, and he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word. So they meet the fate that was planned for them. But continuing, it says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. Do you understand that? Do you understand what it means to be a chosen people? It's part of your life. You should. And it says, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. You know, the promise, chosen people, royal priests, holy nation, God's own possession, the goodness, and we live, and it is in our life, the goodness of God. There are times I have been around people. They know, they call me a churchgoer. I say, well, that's fine. You know, yes, I am. But they also notice a certain goodness about my personality. They say, you're kind of not like, you know, you're reasonable. You know, you're a building official for a city's jurisdiction, and people don't have to make an appointment to see you. They can just walk in your door. I say, what's wrong with that? They should be able to. I work for them. I serve them. They pay my salary. And that is kind of strange to the bureaucracy of local governments. You have to make an appointment. Lucky you. You know, and out in the field, there's good sense. I have a very good rapport with the contractors. Why? Because I will talk and reason with them. They trust me. And when I ask them to do certain things, they do it without question. They know he's a churchgoer. You know, but it's the goodness that is displayed towards them. That goodness comes from the Holy Spirit. It reaches out and makes itself known. And I'm sure it's in your life as well. Some of your experiences. And you know. You know it's God within you, because if it wasn't, you'd be just like them. Make an appointment. Pay that reinspection fee, and then I'll come out and talk to you. You know, that kind of stuff. I'm not that way. And I know it's God's Holy Spirit that has tempered my temper. It gets away from me every now and then, you know. There's just some people that get underneath your skin just by looking at them. That's a test. And, whoa, boy, here we go. Forgiveness, you know, be consistent in the way that you are. Do what is right in God's sight. I do my best. But I do it. And then going on to Romans 8, verses 23. It says, and we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children. You know what an inheritance is. It gives you certain rights. God is saying, you will have full rights just as my son. Question is, do you understand that? Do you know what that means? Because if you have children, you have a will, you know, you give them this, you give them that. God is saying the same thing. Obey me. Live my way of life. And you will have full rights to who and what I am. That's a big plate. That takes a lot of understanding. If you know God and who He is, His power, you will have full rights to that. That alone should overwhelm you. And it says, including new bodies He has promised us. Talk to any one of us in here that have gray hair. We will tell you about the pain of this body. The injuries from our youth, they hurt. But God is promising us a new body, spiritual body. It won't have pain. It won't have to fight evil because it's spiritual. We groan for that. I know I do. You know, 75 years old, and my body is telling me that, buddy. You're 75 years old. You were cruel to me when you were young. You hurt me. So now I'm hurting you. I'll be glad when these days are gone. So, but going on to Hebrews 2. Verses 14 and 15. This one says a lot. It says, because God's children are human beings, just as we discussed, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could He die. And only by dying could He break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Do you believe? Do you understand why He became flesh and blood? You should know by the Holy Spirit. It was redemption to reclaim His creation, us, mankind. What that statement? To break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. What is really being said there? If you go the way of darkness, what is that? It is death. It is a spiritual death. I don't think it was talking about physical death. And yes, I know and understand that there are people that fear it because they don't know what comes after. Is that a power? In some senses, it is. Because there are people I know that are going through chemotherapy. They're scared. They don't want to die. I don't think He's talking about that. I think He's talking about spiritual death. And who can understand spiritual death? Those that have His Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit that reveals it. Be careful. Don't choose spiritual death. Choose life. Continue to live. You know how to do that. Because you have the Holy Spirit to guide you in all truths and understanding. It says, only in this way could He set free all who lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. That may be physical. But I look at it through the eyes of light. Do we have a fear of a spiritual death? You should. I do. Came close to it once. At a point where I was going to actually leave God. Everything about God. I was going to go that way. It was a dark place. But it brought me to a point of understanding because God was saying, consider all that I have done for you. Consider the life I have given you. Do you really want to give that up? Because if you do, the end result is death. Especially for you, because you understand me. You have the Spirit. And you would crucify my Son again? That's eternal death. And you should have a very healthy fear of that. But it's how you see things through your eyes. Do you have the eyes of light or do you have the eyes of darkness? Think about it. Evaluate yourself. And then going on to 1 John verses 2, 16 through 17. This is so true to understand. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure. Especially in this world today. What are they pursuing? Physical pleasures. They're into drugs that are killing them. They're into things they should not be, such as pornography and the other things that go with it that are tearing our society apart. That's this world. It said the pride in our achievements and possessions. I have seen this so many times. A young man or a young woman who's very successful, and they get caught up in that and they're so conceited, it's like, I'm better than you. I don't know if I'm going to allow you to talk to me because you're so far below me. That is sin. That is the world. Just as it says, these are not from the Father, but are from this world. It is this world that has the darkness, not God's world. That is so true of our society today. I read that and went, that's what I grew up in. Because I came from a wealthy family. They destroyed their wealth. Because I had an uncle that said, shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in 3 years, or three generations. I'm a third generation. The money's gone. They destroyed it. But I had the pride of this family because it was a pillar of a community. It was the family of the community. I know what that is. And the family placed itself so far above everybody. You know, the social thing and the golf course, the country club and all that stuff. I was part of that at one time. Glad I had the experience, but I would not want that life. It's a false life. And then it continues on. It says, and this world is fading away, just as that did. The wealth and the power faded away. Glad it did. Because I became a working man. Been working since I was 16. Carpenter by trade. Something. But that was what God did. He took mercy on me as well as you. He said, I've got an interest here. I've got to change the course of this individual's life to get them to where they will hear. That came after I served in the service, 4 years of the Navy. I was an emotional mess, but the timing was right. Because I came across a Plain Truth magazine way back when. It struck me so hard. It was like a runaway freight train. I listened. I heard because of the state of mind I was in. And it was through that God stabilized me. He put my feet on the ground. And it was, now I will teach you how to live. Hear me. I did. I'm very thankful. I'm here today. And going on to John 3:19, it says, and the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. Don't have to say much of that because we understand that. how Christ was treated, where he was eventually brutally murdered through crucifixion. But it was on the day of Pentecost when things changed. The giving of the Holy Spirit, people began to see and understand who the light was and what it has to offer. That happened on this day. And here we are, 1,993 years later, according to Chuck, celebrating this day, the giving of the Holy Spirit, because of what it is, darkness to light, to eternal life, to forever with God. That is this day. That's how it started. And here you are, doing the right thing by being here. And going to Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, how true this is. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. How true is that? I was a man of 23 years when God called me. But prior to that, what was I? Well, I was a surfer and that kind of stuff. But I was living in a world of darkness. I did not know God. Not in the way I do now. I knew of him because my mom would talk about him. But did it have any meaning to me? No. Because the moment I heard surf's up, phew, I was gone. I was gone until the surf was down. That was my life. That was the darkness I was living in because it was my religion. God changed that. So my teenage years were, this is your time, Jeff, do whatever. But when your adult life comes, I'm going to change it. I'm going to introduce myself to you. And he did. And I'm thankful he did. Just as he did with you. That very thing. And then going on in verse 9. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Who in this room can dispute that? I don't see any hands. Good. And then 10, it says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Don't we have to be careful in our life and the things we do? Because it's not difficult to get caught up, like at work in the world and things going on. There's this concert going on over here. This political rally is going on over here. Carefully determine if something like that for you to do is pleasing to God. We have to be on guard every moment of our life when we are awake. Who knows what happens when you're asleep? Not much, I hope. But it's your waking hours. Think about the things you do. Put God before it. Am I doing the right thing or am I approaching a dark corner? Something to consider. And then in John 6, verse 40, it says, for it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. That's the Father's will. Do you accept and believe the Father's will? You're here. Kind of tells me you are. And we have eternal life. And how was that made possible? The day of Pentecost. And in Revelation 20, verse 6, it says, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. For them, the second death holds no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. And then going on in Revelation 21, verses 2 and 3, and I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. A spectacular sight. You'll see it one day. Do you live for that? Do you believe in that? Only you know the answer to that. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people." Who are his people? It is us. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them. How would you know that? How would you accept that? It can only be done through the Holy Spirit and your love for God and who he is and what he has done for us, his creation. We are his creation. There are people that don't believe that, but we do because we know better. Genesis tells you that. He created us physically. And our future. But I want to go back to, this is where I will close, what I have said here. The day of Pentecost is darkness to light. Light to eternal life. To forever with God. To me, this is the day of Pentecost.